how to explain the problem.
Okay.
Let's see. All right, so we spent most of the time on Davar She'eino Mesuyim. Right, it's a big machlokes rishonim, three different shatim, as to what it means, Davar She'eino Mesuyim. And we tried to, for each pshat, explain two things. A, what's the svara? And B, what din are we talking about? Obviously, the simple pshat of the Gemara is talking about keifa, because that's the context of our Gemara. So, first pshat is Rashi. Rashi says, Davar She'eino Mesuyim means ein bo simen, and says it's potter mikeifa, like pshat in the Gemara. So the question is, Tosa's question. Tosa rejects him. He says, why should you put it from Kefal just because there's no semen? Mayin and Shemitah Yisalash Sinai. That seems like a good question, because we're looking at said, you could have two ways to explain why there's no Chiv Hashavas Avdeida if there's no semen. Either A, because there's Yeish, or B, because it's too hard to be Meshiv and Avdeida without a semen, so you're putter from such a difficult Hashavah. Because whatever pshat you say, whether if you say there's no simen, there's yeyosh, so you don't have to be master in aveda, or if you say it's just it's too difficult, so you don't have to be master in aveda, but that has nothing to do with kefil. If you steal something out of simen, you should still pay kefil. So he said we don't necessarily have a good pshat as to what's pshat in Rashi, why there should be a tor kefil just because it has no simen. So then he developed. He is Mechadish Pshat and Rashi. What's Pshat and Rashi? Why should there be Tor Kefil with no Simen? So first he pointed out that that there might be a din of a Tor Kefil for something where your bilus is limited. Where do we find that? The Rambam says in Helkos Ma'aser Sheni Perek Gimel Halacha Chaf Dalid, that if you steal someone's Ma'aser Sheni, your putter, because we paskin, this is my book's Tanaim, right? We paskin Ma'aser Sheni Mamun Gavolah. Now, there are two ways to understand Ma'aser Sheni Mamun Gavolah. One way of understanding Ma'aser Sheni Mamun Gavolah means that it literally belongs to Hashem and doesn't belong to a human being, in which case there's not much of a chiddush to this din and, you know, not relevant to our sugya. But the Radvaz says on the side, your putter from Kefel, if I steal. I steal Reuven's Ma'aser Sheni. I'm putter from Kefel, but I'm chayim to return the keren. It's Mamon Sheishlo Tolman. It's Mamon with an owner. I have to return the keren. So the Radvaz seems to be saying, what's Pshat in the Ramban? And there's a Rav Chaim who says this somewhere. There's a Rav Chaim someplace who says that. He didn't quote the Rav Chaim. I looked and hoped my Sheni wasn't there, so I don't remember what it was. But someplace I remember, there's a Rav Chaim who says, Ma'aser Sheni Mamon Gavol doesn't mean it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to Hashem. No, it does belong to you. Mamon Gavoa means that it does belong to you, but since it has a high level of Kedusha, your bialus is limited and there are certain things you're not allowed to do with it. I know that's a chiddush in the words Mamon Gavoa, but that's exactly what the Radvaz is saying. I mean, Rav Chaim is many rice, if I recall correctly, but that's what the Radvaz is saying. They say, I do have to return the keren to you. It's your money. Mamon Gavoa is not literal. Mamon Gavoa means it's your money, but your bialus is limited by Gavoa, by Hashem's restrictions, because the Kedusha he imposed on this object. So if you take this Radvaz way, which again, I remember seeing in Rav Chaim, of understanding, Ma'aser Sheni Mamon Gavoa, then what do we learn from this? We learn from this that really something can be yours, but since practically your bilus and control is limited, therefore whenever your control is limited, your bilus is limited, and whenever your bilus is limited, you're putter from Kefel. So there's a Tor Kefel for objects where your bialus is limited by a lack of control. This might also be the idea of, right, Zelefisheinu Shol, Zelefisheinu Vershusa, right? If a Goneg ben a Ganav is putter from Kefel, now, this gets the whole sugya in itself, which we'll get to, but there's a Tor Kefel, there's a limitation of bialus called Einu Vershusa. If someone steals something from me, my bialus is limited by the fact this guy stole it from me. And that caused a Ptur Kefil. That's also an example we see. When my practical control is limited by the fact someone took it from me, then my bilus is somehow limited. And when my bilus is limited, there's a Ptur Kefil. So to hear, Rav Lichtzi wanted to say, just like Einu Vershuso, and just like Ma'aser Sheni Mamon Gavoa, maybe, but of course this is a much bigger chiddush than those, Rashi's saying that when I have no simon on something, my control is limited. Why is my control limited? Because if it slips out of my hands, I can't get it back. Because there's no way to like establish in the long run, in the public arena, that it belongs to me. So whenever something doesn't have a simon, my control over it is somewhat limited, because I have, if it slips out of my hands, I can't get it back. Therefore, maybe my bialus is limited, and that's why if someone steals it, they're putter from Kefel, because I didn't have a full 100% bialus on this object to start with. That was a lifting chiddush, very beautiful chiddush explaining Rashi, that the problem with Ein Bo Simon is that it's a pagam in my bialus because I have less practical control. And just like my Sheni Mogavoa, and just like Dover Sheni Bershuso, when you have less practical control, you have less bialus, and therefore someone who steals from you is not Chayiv Kefel.
It's a limited bialus even when you have it?
Correct, that's the Chiddush. Right, that's why this Rashi is much bigger Chiddush than any of these examples.
Right, it's not just when you lose it.
Right. When you lose it, actually, an actual Aveda, there's a big Machlokes Rishonim, whether if I actually lose something, that's considered Rishuso or any Rishuso, if someone stole it, would they be Chayiv Kefel, etc. But that's why this Rashi, you're right, this Rashi is taking another step. But, I mean, we have to explain Rashi. Certainly no better way to explain Rashi. That's for sure. And he just brought another comparison to this, although this was from a slightly different area of Halacha, so it's not as close a comparison, from the din of the Rambam, perhaps from the Rambam Raivet, it's a little unclear what the Raivet means, in Halachas Nachlos, Per Gimel Lacha Aleph, where we know a Bechor only gets a Pishnayim, only gets a double portion in Mochsef, not in Rod. The Bechor only gets a Pishnayim from things his father owns now, not from things his father gets later. Right? Like if somehow the father's lottery ticket won after he died, or someone repaid a debt to the father after he died, or, you know, somehow the father won a lawsuit after he died, then the court doesn't get Pishnayim. So what if the father had a ship at sea, and it came into port after he died? So the Rambam says the Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim. That's considered as if the father didn't have it yet when he died. So again, what do you mean? But it was his ship. Father was his ship. It was totally in his bialus. So the answer is no. When a ship's out at sea, you have a lack of practical control over it because it's out at sea. There's storms. There's pirates. There's, you know, you're no communication with it. So therefore, same idea, lack of control, if your control is limited practically, even though it's not through legal means, just lemaisa your control is limited. If lemaisa your control is limited, then your bialus is limited. If your bialus is limited, and that's exactly the din, then it's not considered something the father owns now, it's considered something the father got later, and that's why the Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim. Now, this is a machlokas, the Raivet might argue, many Rishonim certainly argue. Again, the Raivet's language is unclear. Seems to be a cloak in the nose of Caleb, what he's trying to say. Okay, anyway, so that was the basic Chiddush in Rashi. That Rashi, like these sort of three examples, just like Einu Bershuso, practically someone took it away from me, the practical lack of control means it's less of my bialus, Tur Kefel, or my Shein Mom and Gavoa, according to this Derech, the practical lack of control, because the Kedusha makes it like Gavoa, means that I don't have a full bialus, Tur Kefel. And like the Sfina Bayam, the practical lack of control makes it less mine, so it's not considered muchzik at the time of Misa. Likewise here, for Rashi, certainly taking a step further, the fact that I don't have a simon is some lack of my control of the object, which is some gam in my bialus, which is why the guy who steals it is pater from Kape. Big Chiddush, that's what Rashi seems to say. Now, of course, why did Tosfos reject Rashi offhand? You know, Rashi making two assumptions. Number one, the Yesod, that the Yesod is that any time my control is limited, my bialus is limited, there's a Ptur Kefel. And number two, you would say, the more Mechudosh part of Rashi, is the application. Just as I don't have a Simon, that already means it's not under my control. After all, I haven't lost it, right? Sitting in my desk. So Tosos either denies the whole Yesod against this Rambam, etc., says, no, I deny this whole Yesod. Just because you lose some control doesn't change any halachas. Or Tosos says, I might accept the Yesod, but you're taking it too far. Just because I don't have a simon doesn't mean it's a pagam in my bialus. You know, right now I have a 1,000,000% control over it. Just because I don't have a simon, that's not a flaw, a pagam, a chisaron, in my practical bialus over the object. Okay, which, I mean, certainly this Tosfos could hold either time, we don't know. We'd have to check out Tosfos' sheet, doesn't these others, so he's all over Shas. Which maybe we will when we get to Ein Bo Shuso. That is the first pshat. The second pshat is Tosos. Tosos says that that Darsh Einu Masui means Darsh Einu B'mida B'mishkal V'minyan, something that's not quantified. Right, doesn't have a fixed quantity. Right? I say it was a lot, you say no, it was only a little. So the question is, if this sort of Einu, Darsh Einu B'mida B'mishkal V'minyan, what's the Svara? And what does this apply to, namely? Meaning, Rashi says Mefurish, our Sugya is talking about Kefal, Darsh Einu B'mishkal V'minyan is Patur from Kefal. Why should it be Patur from Kefal? So we have a whole Hesper for why. Tosfos is referring to something which is not quantified. So what is that Patur from? Now we know straight out from a Mishnah that Darsh Einu B'mishkal V'minyan is Patur from Shuas Motiv Mitzvahs. The question is, what are we excluding here? Are we only excluding it from Shuas Motiv Mitzvahs? Or are we excluding it from other things also? So this is a little unclear in Tosos. What does Tosos mean? The Rambam holds Darsh Einu B'mida B'mishkal V'minyan is only excluded from Motiv Mitzvahs, but it's included in Shchiv Shmir and Shavuos HaShomrim and etc. So it could be, if Tosfos agrees with the Ramban, that he has to be nidchak to say Darsh Einu Masuyev, even though it's in the Sugya of Kefel, is only a Ptur from Shavuos Motiv Mitzvahs, which has nothing to do with Kefel. Right? Kefel is something where if you steal a Pikadon and you take a false Shavuos HaShomrim, you have to pay. So Tosfos might either, Tosfos would agree with the Ramban and be nidchak to say our Sugya is only dealing with Motiv Mitzvahs, or Tosfos would say no. Something which is not quantified is potter from not only motiv mitzvahs, which makes a lot of sense, right? The story would be obvious why it's potter from motiv mitzvahs. Motiv mitzvahs is about you say more, I say less, but if that more and less is not quantified, then it's not a real motiv mitzvahs. Or Tosfos would say, no, Darsh Einu B'mida B'mishkal V'minyan, whatever, new shita, is potter from Shavuos HaShomrim also. And if Tosfos is potter from Shavuos HaShomrim also, then it would make sense in our Gemara, because if it's potter from Shavuos HaShomrim, then it's potter from Kefal of Tonatanis Ganav. Because you can't have Tony Tanis Gana without a Shavuos HaShomrim. So that's a little unclear what sort of areas of Halacha Tosfos thinks it's Pasha from.
So, Rashi says, Tosfos says, if he held like the Rambam, it would be only from Shavuos Motiv Mitzvahs, or if he disagreed with the Rambam, that it would be Potter from Shavuos Motiv Mitzvahs, and Shavuos HaShomrim, which would get it to jive a little, if it was Patur from Shavuos HaShomrim, then it would also be and Kefal of Tonatanis Ganav, which would at least bring you a little more into our Sugya. The, before we get background for the next part, Lichtenstein pointed out that as a model for this whole complicated issue of what things are you Patur from, what things are you not Patur from, is the case of Shtei Kesef, right, which the more darshan is that the Pasuk only talking about Shtei Kesef, because it says in the beginning, Ki Yitan Isha V'ya Kesef O'Kelim, so not the Drush and Argara, but Kes Ma Kelim Shnayim Av Kesef Shnayim, that you're only Chayiv if it's Shtei Kesef. I'm Shom, right, this is the beginning of the Sikhar Veshuas, the time is Shtei Kesef, the Kfir is Shtei Kesef, okay, it doesn't make a difference now, but Shtei Kesef, what does Shtei Kesef mean? Two Ma'a Kesef, which is, not two pennies. Purses aren't Kesef. Two, like, so the smallest silver coins they had, which I have no idea what that means in modern-day money. But what about the din of Shtei Kesef? So let's just, parenthetically put it here. What is Shtei Kesef? Or rather, right? Pachos mishtei kesef.
What is pachos mishtei kesef pater from? So for sure, it's pachos mishtei kesef for mikvahs.
That's the beginning of the six parak of Shulah. Shulah is the yana matan mishtei kesef, oda, shavpruta, v'chuli v'chuli.
So what? But lamaisa, what is it pater from?
So just like this little parenthetical box. Definitely Potter from Shvus Mode Bemektas. Definitely not Potter from Chiyuve Shmira, meaning,
you know, Shomachinim Shapasa Pasha and Shomer Sarkar Gneva Veiden Sholon Onsim. For sure, if something was less than Shtei Kesef, the parsha of Shomer still applies. The Machlokas Rishonim is,
what about Shvuas Hashomrim and Shvuas Eid Echad? That is Machlokos Rishonim. If you just want sort of some of the names, which we didn't list, but in terms of whether possibly Shtei Kesef is Potter Shvuas Hashomrim or Chayiv in Shvuas Hashomrim, that seems to be Machlokos between the Rimigash and the Rambam hold its Chayiv, and the Ramban and the Balamor hold its Potter. Right there in the sixth parak of Shavuos. And in terms of Eid Echad, there's a Shavuos Eid Echad. Pshat in the Gemara says straight out, Shavuos Daf Mem, that it's not Potter from Shavuos Eid Echad. But Tosfos there on the side says, no, it actually, we paskin it as Potter from Shavuos Eid Echad, even though it's a Forsh Gemara, it's not. Tosfos says, we don't paskin it away. Okay. But we see that things are complicated, meaning that, number one, this parsha doesn't all have to go together. Something can be like by Shtei Kesef. There can be a p'tur that's only p'tur for Shvuah, not for Shvira. What's unclear is there such thing as a p'tur only for Shvuah's Modem Mikdos, not for other Shvuahs? That's easy to hold Rishonim. Whether, let's say, every p'tur from this parsha has to apply at least to Shvuah's Modem Mikdos and Shvuah's Hashomrim, or you can have a p'tur that applies only to Shvuah's Modem Mikdos. That ties in a little to our issue, and if Tosfos hold like the Rambam, then Tosfos has to admit that a p'tur of this parsha applies only to Modem Mikdos and not to Shvuah's Hashomrim. But if Tosfos would disagree with the Rambam, then he wouldn't have to distinguish between Shvuah's Modem Mikdos and Shvuah's Hashomrim. So what we've seen here is that for sure within this parsha, Mi'utim might apply to Shvuah's, but not to Chiyuvei Shmir, like Shtei Kesef. Whether you can take a knife and split Shvuah's Modem Mikdos and Shvuah's Hashomrim from each other, which are both sort of referred to in the same line in this parsha or not, that seems to be a Chosh Rishonim here, and that might underlie the two different ways of explaining Tosfos. Now, the last shot we have, the call marker doesn't matter, it's just right out of blue, is Tosfos said, his next shot, he says, maybe it means Chatzi Rimon v'chatzi Egos. And that's the way the Ramban sort of took it as well. Dabar she'eino masuya means it's half an object. So now, what's this p'tur of half an object? So half an object is p'tur from what? Right? What's half an object p'tur from? And why? What's half an object p'tur from? And why? Right? So again, in Engel Simon, we worked very hard to explain why. In Ein of Mida Mishkol and Minyan, it's a little easier to understand why, because if you don't know exactly how much you're suing for, then it's certainly easier to explain why there would be no Shvuos Modem Mikdos. Modem Mikdos, you need to say I tine A, you tine B. Even other Shvuos, you could say, if you don't know how much you're swearing on, then there's a Ptur Shvuah. Well, just because it's half an object, why should there be a Ptur from anything? So, we suggested, and, I mean, we suggest in Tosfos, but Ramban takes this direction as well, and says maybe the svara is that we have to make an okimta. The okimta is shaveh pachos mishtei kesef, and use the rule of yatsu kelim lemashehein. Normally, we know there's a rule of Shtei Kesef. You're only chai if it's worth Shtei Kesef. There's another rule, Kesef O Kalim, Yatsu Kalim Amashahim, that Kalim, even if they're worth less than Shtei Kesef, you're still chai v'shvua.
If I say you owe me two needles and you say you only owe me one needle, since it's kalim, even though it's worth much less than shtei kesef, you're still chayav shua. The machlokes have shown whether you're chayav shua and kalim if they're worth less than a pruta, but that's not necessarily relevant for us now. So what's pshat here? Maybe this is what Dovr Sheni Musayim is teaching us. You might have thought that anything in the realm of kalim, meaning if I'm not suing you for cash, anything in the realm of kalim, even less than shtei kesef, you're chayav shua. Kamashla, no, if it's half a kli, is not a kli. You don't say half a kli, well, it's just waiting for the other half. Half a kli is not a kli, and half a kli has no chashivas, therefore, first word, less than shtei kesef, you have a ptor. If you take this svara for tosus, that's talking about chatzi egos, chatzi rimo, that means half a kli, it really means half a kli. I think what he meant to say is that sort of lav davka egos and rimo, not a kli. So this comes from, he's just borrowing the phrase from Bab Metzia. In Bab Metzia, we know there's a machlokas, whether we paskin, you can only do a kinyan, chalitah, and kinyan suda with a kli. But there's another mandamer that's not sheshes there that you can use peros. That peros is also a kli, but half a pri is not a kli. So I think Tosaf just using that phrase to mean half a kli. So what is it potter from? So that would depend. What is it potter from? That would depend. If you held like the Rambam and the Rimi Gash regarding Shtei Kesef, that Shtei Kesef is only Ptor Modem Mixas. Only Modem Mixas your Potter is less than Shtei Kesef. But Shvus HaShomer Rechayven HaKol Shu, then you have to say it's only Potter from Shvus Modem Mixas. And our whole Sugya is talking about only Shvus Modem, or not the whole Sugya is talking about Kefal, but this line of the Sugya is talking only about Shvus Modem Mixas. If you held like the Balamor and the Ramban in Shuas, that Pasmi Shtei Kesef is Potter from Shuas Munitzes and Potter from Shuas HaShomrim, then you would be Potter from Shuas Modem Miktas and Shuas HaShomrim and Kefel of Toin Tamas Ganav, of course, because you're Potter from Shuas HaShomrim, not Pashas, except for one radical sheet of Nor Sameach that I mentioned in a different context once. If you're Potter from Shuas HaShomrim, then you're Potter from Toin Tamas Ganav. Okay, so that's the basic lumdus on how to understand this tour of Dover She'ena Masuyam. The last thing we suggested was something a lot more radical. The last thing we suggested was something a little more radical, which is, now that we've seen that there might be some miyutim in this parsha that are only miyutim from some dinim mentioned in the parsha, not from other dinim mentioned in the parsha, what about avodim shtaros and karkos? So, as a parenthetical point, he added at the end that hektish, we can assume, is potter from everything. Right? That hektish is different from avodim shtaros and karkos. That's a hakira, right? Is hektish a chetza like after chetza like avodim shtaros and karkos? That's what we discussed 2 shiurim ago, I think. Or term the violence of hektish can't be a party. But let's assume hektish, because the bias of hektish is different, that's from everything. But what about avadim shtoros v'karkos? So what is that potter from? So the pashtus is potter from everything. Right? Or meaning everything mentioned in this parasha. Potter from Shmira, potter from Shvos HaShomrim, potter from Shvos Modem Mitzas, potter from Kefel. That's the pashtus. But maybe you could have a big chiddush and say it's potter from Shvuos Modem Mitzas that we know has to be true, because that's a Mishnah in Shvuos, and Chiyuve Shmira, right? Meaning Chiyuve Shmira, I mean Pshia, Gnei Vavei, well, Pshia is what called Gnei Vavei, the Onsim, etc. But, and Kefal, that's for sure, but Chayav in Shvuos HaShomrim. Maybe once we're already believing that you can split things in this parsha, you can make an unbelievable chiddush and say that it's potter from Shvuos Modem Mixas and Chiyuve Shmira, but Chayav in Shvuos HaShomrim. Now, of course, you'll ask me just push it common sense. if it's potter from Yom Shmir anyway, what's the point of Shuos HaShomer, right?
If you're potter, if you lost it anyway, then what's Shuah? So there are two Hechitimtzes where you can maybe prove this possibility. Two places where we can maybe prove this possibility. One place we can make this prove this possibility is, what's the Hechitimtza? There are two cases. One case is, is Shia Kamazik. Meaning, if you assume if Shia is Chayim, are you Chayim to swear that you didn't? You weren't Boshea. Right? According to the Rambam, Boshea Kemazik, right? If you would hold Boshea Kemazik, right? So Shia is Chayim on Karka, would you have to take a Shuas HaShomer that you weren't Pasha on the Karka? Or not? So that's where the Ravid attacks the Rambam, right? The Ravid said on the Rambam, you, Mr. Rambam, who says, Boshea Kemazik is a Chayim Shia on Karka, then why does the Mishnah say Shomer Chidim and Nishba? Then you should have to swear on Karka. So the Ravid attacks the Rambam and says, now again, no one can paskin that you have to swear on Karka. It's Mefurish Mishnah Shomer Chidim Einu Nishba. But the Ravid says, yes, theoretically, according to the Shita of Poshea Kamazik, you should have to swear. And then he says, but since you don't have to swear, Poshea Kamazik is wrong. But theoretically, yes. Theoretically, Leman de Omar. Theoretically, Leman de Omar, Poshea Kemazik, the Ravid says, you should have to swear. And that's why he used that as reductio ad absurdum, to disprove Poshea Kemazik. And then he says, oh, I know what you'll answer me, Mr. Rambam. You'll say, even though Poshea is Kemazik, there's a Ptur Shvua on Karka. So that's what he says he thinks the Rambam might answer. But that's the Rambam might answer. But he didn't think so. He thought, he knows the Rambam will get out of it by saying, no, there's a special Ptur from Shuas HaShomer. But he thinks the Rambam will get out of it that way. But he thinks there's no special Ptur from Shuas HaShomer. He himself thinks that Lu Yetzirah, there was a Chiyuv Shia, there should be Lu Yetzirah, there's a Chiyuv Shia, there should be a Chiyuv Shuas HaShomer as well. Why? Because there's no Ptur from Shuas HaShomerim on Avodim Sharetz Garkos. So the Ptur from Motiv Mitzvahs, Ptur from Shtiyah Veshmirah, but no Ptur from Shuas HaShomerim. That would be a big Chiddush that seems to be what the Ravid's assuming. And of course, assuming you take him seriously, that he really meant what he said, then that seems to be what he said, which would be a very big Chiddush. There's one point that I didn't totally... he wanted to make this deer from the Ravid that was on the Makoros. The Ravid asked in the Havin of the Gemara, why do you need two klal prato klaus? Right, one ki yitei nishu vei akets v'kudlum l'shmor, and also akol var pesh al shorot shorot amor sal samal kol edar shir rak yuzef. Akol edar, rather. And the Ravid didn't answer, well, one is the Ptur from Shmira, and the other is a Ptur from Shvua. So that might be, because the Ravid didn't hold it was a Ptur from Shvua Shomer. Although I'm not sure why he couldn't have answered one is a Ptur Shmir, one is a Ptur from Shuas Motiv Mitzvahs. So that point was a little unclear to me, Lamaisa. Okay, but that's clearly a very good diuk. If you read the Ravid and take his words very seriously, you get that. The other Hechitimtza is where even though there's no Chiyuv Shmira, you would still have Shuas HaShomrim, is the Din Mashbino Soshal Shvuas. There's actually three Shvuas that the guy claims it was lost. Number one, Shvuas Shalo Pasha, or for Shemasach Shalo Digna V'Nefad, fine. But there's also a Shvuah Shal Shach Bayad, and Shvuah Shein Eber Shuso. He has to swear that he doesn't still have it. Right? I give him a cattle watch. He says, oh, the cow got lost. How do I know it got lost? Maybe he still has the cow in a room somewhere. So he has to swear that he doesn't have it. That has nothing to do with Chiyuv Shmira. That's like, Mama, she just has to swear that he's not holding on to my chayfetz. So what about Shvuah Shein Eber Shuso? You could say the same about Shvuah Shal Shach Bayad, but I don't think we have to go into that. Does a shomer have to swear she'eino b'shusol on avodim shtaros akarkos? So if there's a Ptur from Shavuos HaShomer, he's Potter. But if the Ptur is only from Chiyuvei Shmira, but he's Chayim in Shavuos HaShomer, then he should still have to pay She'ena Bershuso. Shavuos She'ena Bershuso and Shalosh Shalach Vayad, right? Two out of the three Shavuos have nothing to do with Chiyuvei Shmira. I mean, Shalach Vayad is somewhere in the middle. So here's where the Rashba brings Amanda Omar that he's Potter and says Tharichiyun. The Rashba, where is this in Shavuos Daf something? Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis says, oh, there's a man that was Potter from all the Shavuos and Tharichiyun. Apparently the Rashba sort of a suspect, maybe he's Chayiv in Shavuos She'enu Bershuso. Why? Maybe there is no exemption from Shavuos HaShomer for Avodim Shor and Kargos, which would be a big Kiddush. But the Rashba seems to have been something. This way, Rav Lichtenstein didn't mention this, but that's also what Forish Raven in Toyin the Nitan Perik Hei Halacha Vav says straight out that if I give you Shtoris to watch and you say they got lost, you have to swear Shavuos She'enu Bershuso. So Raven said straight out that the Shavuos She'enu Bershuso. The Rashba just leaves Sarah and the Raven would be a good Lashutasa. He said straight out the Chiyuv Shavuos She'enu Bershuso. However, there's not a Raya Luchletis because the Achronim debate whether the Ravid means a Shuah Daraisa or a Shuah Hesis. So, I ain't shown the Achronim, but certainly the Ravid does say that you have to swear Shuah She'enu Bershuso, whether he means that be Daraisa or not. I ain't shown, that's a whole complicated thing.
So, where's the Ravid?
In Me'ah. Tidhoim Perkei Halach Avav. That was not mentioned in Shir. But it's like, you know, just takes this Rashba one step further. It says not only. Yeah, sorry, Ian, whether or not he's Potter from the Shavuos She'enu Bershuso, it says straight out he's Chayiv. Again, you have to look into what he means by that. Okay, that's basically what we said about number one, the different Shatim in Davar She'enu Besuyam, the Drash of Shtei Kesef, and Avadim Shosga Kos. Are they Potter from all of the things mentioned in our parasha, or could you split up the things mentioned in our parasha and be Potter from some and Chayiv and others? As well as the svaras for Davar She'enu Besuyam. Okay, any questions on this part? Okay, the second issue we dealt with, a little more briefly, was the Chiddush Rabbi Yochanan, Toin Tanis Gan of Ba'aveda, is Chayiv Kefil. Right? I mean, if you lose something and I find it, and then you come to me and say, did you find my object? I say, yes, but I lie and I say it was stolen, I swear falsely, but chuli, so I'm Chayiv Kefil for Toin Tanis Gan. So, what the hav mina to be potter from kefil? So, well, first the Gemara explains the hav mina and daf kufav and beis. The Gemara explains the hav mina potter from kefil. The Gemara says, hold on a second. Ki yitain ish el b'yehu. You're only chayv kefil if a bar mitzvah boy or an adult gives you an object. If a katan gives you a bikat, then your toy time is gone if you're potter from kefil. So in Aveda, no one gave you. So the Havmin is an Aveda should for sure be Potter. Because it's like a cotton giving. So fine, the Kamash one is no. An Aveda is still coming from an adult, so you're Chayiv Kefil. But let's examine the Havmin. The Havmin was that Toin Tanis Gan of Aveda is Potter from Kefil for the same reason that Nesinas Cotton is Potter from Kefil. Now we just have to figure out why is Nesinas Cotton Potter from Kefil. So here we had a Chakira. Why is Nesinas Cotton Potter from Kefil? Here we have two different explanations. One explanation is, based on the idea we saw earlier, one explanation is that we started this year, right? This is a lack of practical control. A katan
doesn't really, since he can't really keep control of his property,
he doesn't know how to manage properly and to protect his property, so his property is not totally in his control.
An aveda, certainly, here we're talking about after it's lost. Avada, an aveda,
is not totally in your control. I lost it. It's in the street somewhere. So therefore, if I lost something, it should be like property of a katan, which I might have legal title to, but it's not totally under my control.
And the halacha is the idea of mamon gavoa and the inyan b'rishus, so that if something is not totally controlled by me, then it's a pagam in my bialos, and if there's a pagam in my bialos, then you're potter from kefal. That is one way of understanding why a katan's pikadon is potter, because he doesn't have a full control over it, and why nahavmin and aveda should be potter. What the other way of understanding is that, one second. Ah. That the dina of the parsha only apply when there's nesina,
ki yeteng ish. The din of this parsha, like toin tanis ganif,
only apply when you have ki yeteng ish, when you have a legal transfer from the matkid, from the owner to the shomer. Therefore, nesina, he pointed out in the Torah, can sometimes mean two things, right? Sometimes nesina means physical placement, right? Benasnu bnei aron ish alam zveach, means they should physically put it there. A katan can physically put something there. So here, we don't interpret nesina meaning physically putting something. We interpret the other meaning of
nesina, meaning to transfer something legally, to transfer either the ownership or at least the possession of something. So a katan can't do a mice nesina, because he can't do like he can't transfer an object, and therefore that's why a katan a katan is potter from kefal, because he didn't do a nesina to you. He did, I know, he physically gave it to you, but it wasn't a legal nesina, and that's why nahavmin aveda is potter from kefal, because he didn't transfer to you. You just took it.
So there are two ways of explaining the Havmin. In any case, the Maskana, you are Chayv Kefal for an Aveda. He just pointed out one Nafgmina of these two ways of explaining the Havmin. It might be...
Forget about it. Might be... might be how broad the Pshor of a Katan be. The Pshor of a Katan... If you said it was because he had some gam in his bailus, that should only be Hunter from Kefa. But if you said no, he doesn't do an asina, the whole parsha doesn't get off the ground, then there should be a tour from Shuas HaShomrim as well, and that is the machlokti in the Rambam and the Ravid in Perek Beis of Hilchos Schiras. Halacha Zion. This is the Rambam. This is the Ravid. The Rambam says, of course your Chayiv Shuas HaShomrim, the whole parsha applies to a katan, just not kefil, which makes a lot of sense with a special kefil to the pekam in his bibles. The Ravid says, no, ki yitein ish. You're potter legamri from the whole parsha. You're potter from the Shuas HaShomrim. You're potter from the whole thing, which makes sense. If there's no nesina, then you have no, this whole relationship hasn't gotten off the ground, and your partner Shulz HaShomer as well. That's what we suggested as an afgmina of this understanding. Now the Pilchus Tiras Perek Beis Halacha Zayin. Now the third inyan we discussed. What? Yeah, the third inyan we discussed was Hakira. The kids are at Toin Tanis Gam. Tointan is Ganav Schaif Kefel. So, why is Tointan is Ganav Schaif Kefel? Is it a Hechi Timtzi of Ganav? It's just a case.
it's a case of ganef. It's a funny kind of ganef. Or is it a separate chiyuv? Which is parallel to ganef. So is it turned down as ganef just a case of a ganef? He really is a ganef. He's just a ganef in his own unique way. Or is he a different chiyuv, which is also chayiv kefel? There are two things that are chayiv kefel.
So is there one thing that's chayiv kefel, but toin tanis ganav is a funny way of doing it? Or are there two dinim that are chayiv kefel, ganav and toin tanis ganav, which are legamri different dinim? Says that might be what's going on in our sugya.
What's the maskana of our sugya?
Maskana of our sugya is that you're chayiv dal behei. That wasn't obvious. They needed a pasuk to darshe,
but it seems like both mandarim and our sugya found a makar. That he's chayiv from that he's chayiv dal vehei, so he's chayiv dal vehei. Maybe what it's saying is that this is proving he's a real ganef, just like a real ganef is chayiv kefel, and if he's tavach l'machar chayiv dal vehei, so too he's a real ganef. A real ganef is chayiv dal vehei. Or you could also say that it's a separate chiyuv, which also has dalav behei. It doesn't prove that he's a ganef. It could just be a totally separate chiyuv, just like coincidentally, the separate, not coincidentally, but the separate chiyuv has kefil just like a ganef. The separate chiyuv plus sabak makar has dalav behei like a ganef.
So that doesn't actually prove anything, although at first glance it certainly sounds like he's really ganef, but it's definitely not a proof of anything. So it sounds like the ravid who sounds like he's a ganef mamish.
Because,
this is the Ravid in Hilchas Gneva per Dalet Halacha Beis.
Argues with the Rambam about the case of Sholach Bayad and then Toin Tanis Ganef. Right, when the first time Sholach Yad, I used it for my own purposes, and then I was Toin Tanis Ganef. So the Rambam says, once he's Sholach Bayad, he's already a Gazan on it, he's already Kona it, then the Toin Tanis Ganef is irrelevant. But the Ravid says no, and it's the Lashon of the Ravid that Dik was from, not the Shita, but the Lashon.
Kaven Shupotr Nafshi Minabitan is Ganav, Ganafu.
The Ravid's Lashon is Ganafu. Anyone who uses the Titus Ganav is a Ganav. Certainly sounds like the Ravid is saying that that Toin Tanis Ganav is a Ganav.
However, there's another Ravid that's not so Pashut,
because there's another Machlokas Rambam Ravid in Perek Dalet Hilchos Gneiva Halacha Yud about whether a shomer who steals from his own rishus, right, you give me something to watch and I steal that. Now, how exactly can I steal that? What the heiki timtze is going to be a little complicated, but let's forget about that for now. Right, is what's the heiki timtze that I steal it, right? Meaning if I pick it up, that's part of my shmira. How have I stolen? And if it's just the machshava when I picked it up, that's called shlichus yad.
Okay, but let's assume we can have a heiki timtze of stealing something. Right, the Rambam is a very unique case he describes there.
So the Rambam says, I'm chayiv kefil as a ganef if I steal something you entrusted to me. The Rambam says, Zeinu klum. Now, what the Rambam seems to be saying, what everyone understands the Rambam is saying, no, that's ridiculous. You can't be chayiv for gneva if you take something from your own rishos, because gneva means taking something from his rishos. If it's in your own rishos, that's not gneva. So the Rambam seems to hold, and this is a bit of a stira, this is Dalet Beis, Dalet Yud, seems to hold that can't be Gneva from your own Rishus. Now, of course, this is a bit of a steer in the Ravid, because the Ravid wants to say, one weird dike from one Ravid, that Toin Tanis Ganef is a Ganef. That means that you could be a ganef, even though you took it from your own rishus. Then the Ravid says, no, there's no such thing as a shomer becoming a ganef, because it's in his own rishus already. So if there's no such thing as a shomer becoming a ganef, then Toin Tanis Ganef can't be a ganef.
So this is, in general, all the Achronim actually have a lot of trouble with these two Ravids. Rav Lichtenstein wanted to say that,
I mean, at first glance, certainly seems like a stira. Could be a stira, although it would be awfully close. Location. So you want to say that no, maybe really the Ravid Shita is that really the Ravid Shita is that a Toin Tanis Ganef is a Ganef. He really says Ganefu. How can he be a ganav? A ganav is potter if he steals from Rishus. So he wanted to say that why is a ganav potter if he steals from his own Rishus? The ganav is potter if he steals from his own Rishus, not that it's a ptur on the chi of gneva. That you can't do a maisa gneva. The maisa gneva has to be taking it from your Rishus to my Rishus. And if it's already my Rishus, I can't do a maisa gneva. But the ptur of the writing of Halacha Yud is not that gneva doesn't apply, but that there's no hechitim to a maisa gneva. But Toyn Tanis Ganev, everyone agrees it's a different kind of maisa. Everyone agrees Toyn Tanis Ganev is a different maisa gneva than regular taking, because after all, you didn't even do a maisa, you just spoke. So then the rabbi makes sense. When you're trying to do gneva through a physical maisa gneva from your own Rishus, you're potter. You didn't do the maisa, you kept them in the same Rishus. But when you're doing a ganef through the verbal maisa gneva track, then a verbal maisa gneva you can do no matter what Rishus it's in. So therefore, Toyn Tanis Ganev really is a ganef. It's just another hechi timtza of ganef, the verbal ganef, not the physical ganef. And a verbal ganef can be chayiv from his own Rishus, because the words are the same words. Only a physical ganef can't be chayiv from his own Rishus, because physically he hasn't done the maisa of hotzah mirshus lishus. That's what Rav Lichtenstein wanted to say for the Ravid. Okay, there were two other very important ha'aros. One ha'ara was about there's a hab mina on daf samach dalet amud beis, ein maganav atzmo b'shvua. That you might have a hab mina that a ganav should only be chayiv kefil, a regular ganav, not Toyn Tanis Ganev, if he swears falsely. Why? Because if Toyn Tanis Ganev is only chayiv, he swears, so too a ganav. Now this gets to a chakira. In the acronym, why is a Toyn Tanis Ganev only chayiv if he swears falsely? So, one shot is because part of the mechayiv is shvua sheker. The other shot is that, no, really, he's chayiv without a shvua. But he's only chayiv if he stole, and if he didn't take a shvua yet, then he hasn't stolen because he still has to pay. Right? If I try to steal your object, but I don't succeed, then of course I'm not chayiv kefil. I'm only chayiv kefil if I succeed in stealing. So until he takes the shvua, he hasn't succeeded because Bezdin's still going to make him pay. So that's a chakira. Why is Toyn Tanis Ganev only chayiv with a shvua? Because halachically a shvua is part of the mechayiv? Or because practically he hasn't succeeded until he swears? So our Gemara seems to be right on the first side of that chakira. If it would just be that practically he hasn't done a gneva until he swears, then you have no havamina that a regular ganev is only chayiv if he swears, because practically he did do his gneva without swearing. He took it home. So if it was just a practical problem, then if you know Havmi, the ganav atzmo should be potter until he swears. Why? The ganav atzmo succeeded. He took your car and it's 1,000 miles away now. Who cares if he swears or not? But if it's a halachic inyan that you don't deserve the mechayiv of kefil until you have an avir of shua sheker, then the Havmi makes sense. If a Toyn Tanis Ganev doesn't deserve to be chayiv until he does the avir of shua sheker, then maybe a regular ganav also doesn't deserve to be chayiv until he does shua sheker. So this havamina seems to prove that it's a halachic point, the machayim is only deserved if you do shua sheker, not a practical point that just practically you haven't finished your job until you take a shua. Okay, the last point we mentioned was machlokas Rashi and Tosfos at the top of Daf Samachim and Aleph, which has this special drusha, gago chatsir v'karpifo minayim. We know if you steal with your hand, you're chayiv. How do we know you're chayiv if you steal with your gag, chatzer, and tarpeif? With your property? The answer is, so what is that case? What's the case of gag, chatzer, and tarpeif? So that's machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. The Tosfos is here, and the Rashi and the Bavitzi is up here on base. Rashi says it means the animal wandered accidentally into your yard, and you locked the gate behind it. Tosfos says it means you hit it with a stick and made it go into your yard, and then you close the door. Or even if you didn't close the door. So that's what holds Rashi and Tosfos. So why did Tosfos not say like Rashi? Why did Rashi not say like Tosfos? Again, Rashi says it means it wandered into your yard on its own and you closed the door. Tosfos says you hit it with a stick and made it go into your yard. So why did each one say their shita? Tosfos probably didn't like Rashi, and this is explained a little later on. Tosfos probably didn't like Rashi because in Rashi's case, you never did a maisa to the object.
So Tosfos probably didn't like Rashi, because if it wandered in on its own, why should that be Gneva? It wandered on its own. You didn't take it, and you never took the object. So if you didn't do a Maitzel Lekicha, then... If you didn't do a Maitzel Lekicha, then why should it be Chayv Kefal? So that's why Tosfos didn't like Rashi.
Why did Rashi not like Tosfos? So Lechor, because Tosfos has a very big problem with it.
So I'm not sure. I'm sure they're going to deal with this. But Tosfos is a very big problem. Because what's Tosfos' case? You hit it with a stick and made it come into your property. Problem is, the Mefurish Moreh Daf Ayin Tesfot Beis, that if you hit an animal with a stick, that's called Kinyan Meshicha, and that's a Maisa Gneiva, even if it doesn't go into your property. So the problem is, if Tosfos says the only Chiddush of Gag V'Chatzir Chayv Kefal is when you hit it with a stick, when you hit it with a stick, that's Yodo Mamish. That's your Kona without Gag V'Chatzir Karpifo. In which case, according to Tosfos, there's no Chiddush of this Drasha. This Drasha is not teaching us anything. It's only teaching you if you did a Meshicha into your property, when you're Chayv Gneiva for the Meshicha anyway. So who cares about your property? So in which case, Tosfos is very dachuk. And Rashi maybe makes too much of a chiddush, but at least he makes a chiddush. The chiddush is, even though you never touched the animal, you never moved the animal, you never had anything to do with the animal, all you did is close your door, you're chayv gneiva. It's a big chiddush. Chayv gneiva without a maisa lekicha, but at least it's a chiddush. Tosfos makes it a small chiddush. You're only chayv, you hit it with a stick and drove it into your property. The problem is, it's such a small chiddush, it's no chiddush. We knew that without the drush of Gago Fatsir and Karpiko. Because even if it's in an alleyway that belongs to nobody, if I hit it with a stick, I'm a guy. So Tosfos is very difficult, and that's probably why Rashi did not like Tosfos' shot. Okay, what the heifer of Tosfos is, I didn't have a chance to figure out, but I'm sure there must be people to deal with it, because it's a pretty strong kasha against Tosfos. Did anyone get a chance to look into that? The Rashash. What does the Rashash say?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Because
Rashi thinks you're going to be chayv kefal without a maisa lekicha, and Tosfos thinks that's going too far. Rashi would say, no, that's not going too far. It's a chiddush. Tosfos thinks that's too much of a chiddush. The Rashash says, "L'chorza have a meshicha." Okay, good question. Yeah, that's exactly his question.
No, then he's got a problem.
Yeah, he doesn't answer it. So the Rashash asks the question, but does not answer it. Oh, it's a pretty strong question.